Hey there, welcome back. Preparing for exam 9A375 HTML5 Application Development Fundamentals. I'm Christopher Harrison, very pleased to be joined today by Rachel Jones. And we've been kind of rolling through some HTML, a little bit of CSS, and now it's time to kind of complete the triumvirate here and take a look at how we can write some code utilizing some JavaScript.
Yep.
So take a look at how we can enhance that last little bit of functionality that we're going to be looking for.
Yeah, so we'll start off from the very basics. If you are brand new to JavaScript, mm-hmm. we're going to take you there. So then we're going to get into specifically what you need to know for the test.
Okay.
JavaScript, of course, gives us the ability to do some things dynamically at runtime.
Mm-hmm.
Things like interacting with your user interface.
Okay.
We're going to look at what a function is, how to create it.
Okay.
And then once it's created, how we're going to use it,
mm-hmm.
right? How we're going to call it.
kind of a good thing.
Yeah. We looked earlier at the canvas object. We talked about that in one of the earlier modules.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned that in order to use that canvas object, you're going to have to interact with it using JavaScript.
Yep.
We'll actually do some demos with that and show you how to do that. And then last, we'll finish off talking a little bit about working with touch interface devices, which is really important in today's development environment. So
yep.
You'll want to know a little bit about that for sure.
In fact, I've got it off screen here, my Lumia 1020. I love this thing. Everything now, I want to be able to just go in and touch and so forth. And one of those little things that always drives me crazy is sites that I go to where they've got like a drop-down menu, but it's for mouse over only. So you go tap on it on your phone or on your device, and then it doesn't work. So
that's
making
right.
sure that your page can work with touch, very important. It'll make me happy. And it's all about me, right?
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Yeah.
We'll go with that.
And that's a good point to bring up, though,
yeah.
right? Because when you are designing for touch, you've got to consider that you're going to have smaller devices and your controls have to be a little bit further apart than you would do with just mouse type.
Yeah, exactly.
Action. So
yep.
we'll talk about all that. We'll
yep.
get into it. First, though, we want to set the beginning
yeah.
of exactly what JavaScript is.
Okay.
And then even maybe more importantly, not only what it is,
mm-hmm.
what it is not.
Yes.
When we talk about JavaScript, it is a what we call loosely typed, interpreted, scripted language.
Okay.
Which means scripted.
Yeah, what
means,
does that mean?
Yeah, it just means that basically we're going to be able to read it with a human eye.
Okay.
As opposed to languages such as C#, Visual Basic, C, and those are actually compiled executable languages that are compiled into
okay.
machine code.
So they're compiled into machine code. So mm-hmm. I've got my C# and that will actually become machine code, be able to run locally. That JavaScript, it's just going to be that scripted language.
That's
and,
right.
And that's it. So it's going to be interpreted by something.
It's going to be interpreted. That's
okay.
right.
Okay.
We also say that it's open source, and that just simply means it's available for all. You don't have to go out and purchase anything. It's
okay.
open.
We can just go use it. So we don't need anything special. I don't need to spend any money to use JavaScript.
Nope.
Okay, I can write that with Notepad as well.
You can absolutely write it with Notepad.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So,
okay,
right.
I love it.
We probably want to at least differentiate a few other terms that you might have
mm-hmm.
Heard. I'm going to just turn my screen black for just a second, and then I'll demonstrate some things. One of the things that I often get asked as I'm teaching
mm-hmm.
is JavaScript like Java, you know, or another one I hear is JavaScript's a subset of Java, and quite simply, the answer is no. No. This is the analogy that I like to use. I like to say that JavaScript is to Java as peanut butter is to peas, right? Peanut butter and peas, both food group, JavaScript, Java, both programming languages, but peanut butter and peas don't taste the same. They don't provide the same nutritional value, and we can kind of relate
yeah,
that
I don't know,
to JavaScript.
A nice pea and jelly sandwich sounds like it might be. No?
Just, I'm not feeling it.
All right. I always like to use the joke that Java and JavaScript share four things in common, the letters J-A-V-A.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, so we want to differentiate that and make sure that our audience understands that.
Yeah.
Just kind of basically lay out some terms. So I'm going to
okay.
go ahead and just type these things out on my screen because I want to make sure our audience understands this. This is important as we move forward.
Don't forget your C.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Thank you.
Yep.
When we talk about JavaScript, JavaScript actually happens on the client side.
Okay.
And that's important
browser.
To know. Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually rendered on the client, so we're going to say that it's client side.
Okay. Yep.
Another term that we might have heard about and wondered about is jQuery. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for the test, you do need to know what jQuery is.
Okay.
Again, that's another subject. Gosh, Christopher, we could, in fact, we have like a 2-week course, right, that
yeah.
we do on jQuery.
And if you don't mind my throwing in a real quick plug here, because I have to, since, you know, I work for Microsoft Learning,
yeah.
and I'll actually be doing it, that there is an MVA that either is or is going to be, depending on when you're watching this, that's going to be available. I'll actually be doing a full day on jQuery coming up here in a
Soon?
Few weeks. Yeah. So depending on kind of when you're watching this, it'll either already be on MVA or it's going to be coming on MVA. So if you're interested in getting more into jQuery, we'll have a full 8-hour MVA for you on that.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we switch
yep.
back to my screen here. So I'm
yep.
typing away as Christopher's mentioning
yeah.
that. I
yep.
want to just make sure that our audience understands what jQuery is. So jQuery is actually JavaScript. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's JavaScript.
Yeah.
But it's JavaScript that's already been written for us as developers
right.
to go out and use, right? That
yeah.
whole idea of reusability. So you can kind of think of jQuery as just simply a library of code,
mm-hmm.
open sourced, available for all to go in and reuse.
Yep.
For this exam, you need to understand what it is. I would say also have a pretty good understanding of maybe what that syntax would look like that you would need to put into your code to actually write in, link into
yep.
jQuery,
mm-hmm.
right? But other than that, that's about all for this level. Just have an
mm-hmm.
understanding of what it is and that it is available for you.
Okay.
Another thing that you might hear about is Node.js.
Okay.
That term, right? In fact, we even mentioned that our web matrix supports Node.js,
yep.
right? So, okay, tell me, are you doing another course on that?
As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, you know, another shameless plug here.
we've
actually got a full 8 hours coming up on Node.js. That one I'm very excited about because they'll actually be covering kind of front to back of how you're going to set up Node.js on the server side, which is what Rachel's about to type out. That's you know kind of a server side
code.
Okay,
I'll just type it out as you're speaking.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Also incorporating that with a bit of client side JavaScript, using some WebSockets to send messages back and forth from client to the server. So I'm very excited about that one. So again, depending on when you're watching this, it'll either be on MVA or coming soon on MVA, so Node.js. So yeah, thank you for letting me have that plug.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because certainly we want this to be your starting point and help you prepare for this
mm-hmm.
exam, but
yep.
know that we do have lots of other stuff out there on MVA
for yeah.
you to continue on with your learning process,
yep.
so you'll want to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
But as Christopher mentioned, what Node.js is basically a platform available.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned that JavaScript happens on the client side. What Node.js does is extend out our application and allows us to do some processing on the server side.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply what it is. So definitely you'll want to catch Christopher's topics
yep.
coming up. But to make sure in preparation for the exam, you at least know what
these are.
These tools, yeah.
You don't necessarily have to worry too much about exactly how to get in and start programming in Node.js,
right.
but at least understand what it does and that basic concept, and you'll be okay for the exam.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Very good.
So,
another cool feature, if we go to our slide here with HTML5, that we didn't
yeah.
have access to before. So, some of the big guys like C mm-hmm. and C Sharp and Visual Basic, the more traditional
.NET
yeah. languages, we had access to these Windows Runtime APIs,
mm-hmm.
application programming interfaces, right? And you can also think of those as kind of a library of code, if you will,
yep.
for us to be able to use. Now in HTML5 with JavaScript, we have access
mm-hmm.
to some of this functionality that the Windows operating system
right.
allows us to do. Again, very in-depth topics for this exam. We want to make sure that we know what they are and be somewhat familiar with a few of the more exciting ones.
Yeah.
And here's a little list of the ones that I want you to specifically know about and at least know what they are. Talk about geolocation. anybody that's used a mobile device, right, has probably...
I'm not going to break out my Lumia again. We'll leave that down there, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, anybody that has used a mobile device has probably used the geolocation API.
Yep.
It just simply goes out and gets the a location using global positioning of a particular object.
Yep.
So for this exam, know what it is, know it exists.
Yep.
Be a little bit familiar with maybe some of the methods that are available for the geolocation object, right? And then we'll turn our attention to the slide to talk a little bit about web workers and web sockets. Web workers, that's a technology that allows us to put something that's happening on a background thread as an example. Let's give it an example. What if you were doing a calculation, a rather intense calculation, and you really didn't want that to interfere with what was happening on the graphical user interface? You can shove that calculation back to a background thread, and that's what Web Workers allows us to do now in JavaScript.
Yes.
So it's pretty cool. And then probably the baby of these three technologies is WebSockets. And that's, you know, continues to evolve as we speak. But it allows us to do two-way communication. Remember we said that our application was running on a browser. And a browser doesn't typically have, by its nature, communication from endpoint to endpoint, from client to server.
Right.
Well, using these WebSockets allows us to establish that two-way communication.
Exactly. Yep.
So I think that's in a nutshell, really, what we're expecting on this level of tests. Understand that they're available. Spend a little time looking at maybe some of the methods and events associated. In fact, on the slide, I have got a great resource for you. This is a fantastic resource you should explore that gives a very simple explanation of APIs and goes into detail a little bit, not too much, just about what you need to know, just the right amount for this exam.
Perfect. I like it.
All right. Let's get into it. Let's get into the code.
Yeah, let's do some code.
There we go. We can't get away from it, can we, Christopher?
Gotta do Hello World.
Yep. So this is an example first of JavaScript, and it's what we call inline JavaScript. We're going to type it right into our HTML. We did that with CSS, right?
Yes.
We saw some mistakes you could get into.
Yep.
You could also do that with here.
Yep.
But we are going to start with the basics, because when you're looking at other people's code, you may see this, and it's perfectly fine to do it. In this case, we've just got one line of code, so we wrote it in JavaScript. But as you begin developing your application and it becomes more complex, you'll definitely want to separate that out. But for starters, we will start here with just some basics.
Now, on the example that that Rachel had up a second ago, all that was going to do is just simply print out that Hello World Wide Web on the screen, and that was it.
That was it. We didn't we weren't in control of where it was going to go.
Exactly.
Just
here, print. And that, unfortunately, of course, is a little bit limiting, because what we're looking for with JavaScript is interactivity, to be able to interact with the user, interact with the interface. So we need to be able to go in and find different items, different elements on the page. And that is what the next slide that Rachel had up there is showing. So if we go back to the slide, there we go. What you're going to notice there is that little document.getElementById. And then you'll also notice, up at the top is that paragraph with an ID. So you'll notice ID equals demo, and you'll notice get element by ID demo. Well, if I call get element by ID, what do you think it's going to go find? It's going to go find the element that has that ID, and you see that ID right
okay,
there.
Okay, so that's what I'm doing here then.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and give this an ID so I can interact with it with my code.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly. Yep. And then the next little thing that you're going to notice is at the very beginning is that little document.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
document
guy right here?
Yep. And document is the document. that is your HTML page, and that's how I can start interacting with the page. So, and don't worry about going back to the previous slide, but the reason that we could say document.write and have it print something out on the page is because of the fact that document is that page. So if I want to go find something on the page, I can do that right off of that document element. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the slide here, the last little thing is that inner HTML. Mm-hmm. So that allows you to change the HTML that's going to be inside of that paragraph tag and set that to be something. And in this case, when Rachel put together the slide, what she did was she added in that little date call, and that's, of course, going to get the today's date.
Yep, built-in function available to us.
Yep, and then just put that right into the paragraph tag.
Simple as that. One line of code. And we just wrap that around a script begin and end tag.
Yep.
Let's do a demo. Let's go in and actually first start off basic with just writing some code right inside of our HTML.
Yep.
And then we'll look at
getting
actually doing some, doing some updating. What do you say? You want to take this with Christopher?
I felt a little lonely over here. I want to write some code.
You're getting
see,
antsy.
I can do it.
Okay, you're getting antsy.
All right.
Let's give it over to you.
So let's come on over to my system. There's my system.
Okay. Oh, good. And so we're going to do it in Visual Studio.
Yeah, we're going to do it in Visual Studio. And this is going to serve as kind of a nice compare and contrast between WebMatrix and Visual Studio.
I love it.
And Visual Studio is certainly more powerful than WebMatrix, has some more features. But again, WebMatrix is still a fantastic tool, and I don't want to underplay WebMatrix.
And it's got some features that others don't have, right?
That's also very true. That's also very true.
PHP support?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So in my case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to click File, New, and I want a brand new website. There we go. And I'm going to go with an ASP.NET empty website. Now, don't worry too much about what ASP.NET is or VB or anything like that. We're not going to be getting anything into that. The key word here, the word that I want to highlight is going to be empty. And so empty, sort of like you might expect, is exactly that, meaning that it's going to be empty. There's not going to be anything inside.
You're not the lazy developer like I am.
Right.
You don't use the template. Okay.
Yep. And down at the very bottom here, I'm just going to give this a real quick name of demo, again, being very creative. And then I'm going to click OK, and then we'll give this just a second here. Perfect. So now I'm going to create a brand new. And I can do this with a right click. When in doubt, right click. Mm-hmm. I'm going to create a brand new HTML page. So we'll just say add and new item. There we go. HTML page. And I'm going to give this a name of index. And index, by the way, is kind of a special word because in a lot of cases, that's going to be the default page that it will display out to a user's system. So that way, if you're trying to just go in and create that start page, typically that's going to wind up being being index. Okay, so index HTML, and I'm going to tap Add here. There we go. Perfect. So now let's start off, just like Rachel said, with the basics here. So I'm just going to go in and I'm going to say script. There we go. And I'm going to say document.write. And then we'll go ahead and say hello world. Perfect. And by the way, one of the little things in JavaScript is, in theory, you should end every statement with a semicolon. In all reality, you can get away with that, except in just kind of a few little fringe cases. Mm-hmm. You don't absolutely need the semicolon. That being said, personally for me, I like having the semicolon
there. Get in
there.
The habit.
Yeah, exactly. Get in that habit, because there's a very good chance that you're going to move on to languages like C#, maybe C++, that do require that semicolon at the end. So if you just kind of get that pinky trained to hit that semicolon, do it now, in the long run, that's going to make your life that much easier. So now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on Debug, and say start without debugging. And I don't want to get too technical here about the difference between with and without debugging. So I'm just going to say start without debugging. Give this just a second here. Beautiful. And now, right up at the very top there, there is my little Hello World. And let me just go in and do a zoom, make that a little bigger. And there's Hello World.
So you couldn't really control where it was going. It just went to the default space.
Exactly. Yeah, just went to that default space. Now, I'm going to use the snap feature here. And Windows 7 was my idea. There we go. And so now over here I've got my code, and over here I've got my page. So let me add a little bit into my page here. So let's go in and maybe do an H1 here. And this is the title. There we go. And maybe an H2. This is the subtitle. There we go. And last but not least, an H2. This is the end. Now, let's say that I wanted that little Hello World to appear somewhere in the middle there.
Okay.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a placeholder. So let's just go in and let's just use a div tag.
Sure, why not?
Yep, div tag. And let's give this an ID of placeholder.
Okay.
There we go. And we'll close that out. And now let's update our script. And I'm just going to use two forward slashes there for a comment.
Perfect.
And so a comment is going to tell it, hey, don't look at this. This is for me, mm-hmm. not for the environment. And it's also just kind of a nice way when you're studying to give yourself notes.
Right. Yes.
So let's go in and find that element. So we'll say document.getElementById. By the way, tab will do that autocomplete for you there.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a good speller, right? Because it'll re-spell the word.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know if I spelled something incorrectly when the IntelliSense doesn't pop up.
Exactly.
It really helps people like
myself. That's
not
perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. So now I've kind of expanded because my code's getting a little longer here. And so now you'll notice there's that inner HTML.
Yep,
so again, I'm just going to say tab, and I'm going to go in and say, again, that hello world. Perfect. Now you'll notice that it does say HTML.
Right.
So if you did want to put in HTML, let's say, for example, let's use EM, for example.
Perfect.
Close EM. There we go.
Good.
And now let's go ahead and save this, and we'll push this back off to the left side. We'll come back over here, we'll hit refresh, and now what you're going to notice mm-hmm. is there's the title, there's the subtitle, this is the end, and then there in the middle is that Hello World.
Okay, so you were able to be more interactive with your page.
Exactly, yeah, cool. Yeah. Now, one of the challenges with doing something like this is we're going to lose that reuse. And this is something that Rachel had mentioned previously when we were talking about CSS. That when we're talking about CSS, one of the little things that we want to try and do is get that separation of concern. We don't want everything inside that HTML file, because then that HTML file is just going to get huge, and we don't want to have to manage that. You know,
right.
We got better things to do with our time. So instead, we want to try and separate everything out into a separate file. And you'll notice that that's exactly what we can do by just going in and creating a brand new file here. So if I go in with my little pen, we could go in, create a brand new file, give mm-hmm. it a name.
Yep, script.js, default name, that'll work.
Yep, that'll work. The JS, of course, being for JavaScript.
Script.
See? And then you'll notice that we can put the JavaScript in that that we want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I'm going to demo here in a minute is that if we just simply put in this JavaScript, it would just immediately run. And in this case, it would create an alert, which is going to be that little dialog box
yep.
that pops up.
For sure.
Yeah.
That works.
But I don't necessarily want that to happen right away.
Okay.
I want a little bit of control over exactly when that's going to happen. And that is where a function comes into play.
Okay.
A function gives me a balled up block of code that I can call by its name. So I'm going to get down to that little call down in a second here. But what I want to highlight for right now is you'll notice that name and that name.
Yep.
They match.
Perfect.
Right text, right text.
Mm-hmm.
So makes it very easy now for me to go in and call that. So only when I call that right text will that actually execute.
Yep, and so that'll be tied to the on-click event, right?
Exactly,
very
yeah.
good. So when
yep.
that fires, it'll go out and grab your code.
That's exactly it.
Perfect.
Yep. Now, when we put it into a separate file, let me make sure I've got my pen. There we go. Okay. When I put it into a separate file, just like with that CSS, mm-hmm. I need to bring that in. And so we can do that in the head, we can do that in the body, a lot of different right. options that that we have there. But you're going to notice that sort of like we had with the CSS, mm-hmm. that we are going to call to that file. So there's that little script.js, and that's going to be our call to it. And then you're going to notice that little closing script here.
Yep, beginning and end.
Yep.
There we go.
Now, I do want to mention something real quick, because this is something that's caught me on several occasions, is technically, in HTML, if I'm not putting anything at all between the closing and open tag, so if I'm not putting anything here, in most cases, what I can do is simply have, for example, like a line break, is just that forward slash at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
That works.
Yep. You're going to notice nothing in between there. So you're going to look at that and you might think, well, wait a minute, Christopher, couldn't I just, you know, get rid of that and just put that forward slash right there? You would think. It doesn't work. And most annoyingly, and I'll actually demo this because the number of times that this catches me, I seem to always forget this, is innumerable. What makes this particular little quirk annoying is it just doesn't load the script file. So it doesn't give you an error message.
Right.
It doesn't tell you, hey, dude, you got to give me a real closing tag here. It doesn't do any of that. All that it simply does is simply not do anything.
Not do anything, yes. Right? But no warning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually when that happens, you need to go back and look at your begin and end tags,
yep.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Great point to bring out.
Yeah. So make sure that you've got that closing tag right there. Make sure you've got that. Okay. And then the last thing is, once we reference that now, because it's in a function, we want to be able to call it. And then what you're going to notice down here is that little on click.
Mm-hmm. Which there we go.
Be for click.
Right.
And that's going to call that little item right up there.
Good. All right.
So cool.
Write it out externally. And then when you're ready to use it, you just call it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and take a look at how we can do this here.
Okay.
So let me get out of my slides. Discard. Do, 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 do. There we go. Okay, and back to Visual Studio. So what I'm going to do is sort of like what Rachel did before, is I'm actually going to cut that block of code. So we have kind of the same bit of code there. And then what I'm going to do is create a brand new JavaScript file.
Okay.
It's going to give me that little name of JavaScript. I'm going to name it script. .js, yeah. There we go.
That's unique.
Yep. Yeah, very creative. And then I'm going to start here by just pasting in that block of code. So I'm just going to paste that right in.
Okay.
And then let me go back to my index.html, and now I want to reference that. And there's actually two ways that we could do this. I could absolutely type it in, but you know what? I got to tell you, I'm feeling lazy. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to drag and drop out that script file, and Visual
nice.
Studio will automatically
yep.
set that up for me.
That's great.
Okay. So now I'm just going to move that over there, and little save of everything, come back over here, hit refresh, and you're going to notice it's the exact same thing, which was exactly what I wanted.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I do want to show real quickly here that if I have just that forward slash, like I was mentioning before, so let's make a mistake here, we'll do this one on purpose, is I come back over here, I hit refresh, and you're going to notice it just doesn't do anything.
Right. Doesn't now, give you any warning, just doesn't work.
Exactly. Okay. Now, Visual Studio is going to try and help me.
Right.
And you'll notice we get green squigglies, again, mm-hmm. squigglies. You'll notice that we get green squigglies there to kind of tell me, hey, you did something wrong, so let's just undo that and hit save, and then let's hit refresh again, and everything works.
Perfect.
But I want to put that inside of a function. So let's just go right inside of here, and I'm just going to say function, and we'll give this a name, display message. There we go. And by the way, One little thing to mention about JavaScript here, and Visual Studio automatically put in the tabs for me, is that JavaScript is case sensitive. And that's a very big thing, because everything else that we've been dealing with when it came to HTML and CSS, none of those were case sensitive. Now it is case sensitive. In fact, back long time ago, it used to be when you were writing HTML that the best practice was to put it in all uppercase letters. And that's now changed. The best practice is to put it into all lowercase. But HTML is actually technically not case sensitive. JavaScript, however, is. And so my advice, whenever anybody asks, hey, is this case sensitive, is to say, treat everything like it's case sensitive. Because in the long run, that's going to make your life that much easier. Because if you treat something like it's case sensitive and it's not, you're going to be fine.
Right.
If you treat something like it's not case sensitive, and it is, now you're going to run into problems. So
Good advice. You'll notice,
yeah, right there, display message, I'm going to have that capital M. So when I come back over here and create my little button, you're going to notice that I'm going to need that capital M. So let me just make that full screen again. And let's say button type equals button. And then let's say on click equals, and we'll say display message. And you'll notice that Visual Studio is even picking up the fact that we created that function, and it's saying, hey, you might want that. So let me
Love it.
Pretty cool.
Makes developer lives very easy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then we'll kind of just do the generic click me. Mm-hmm. There we go. Perfect. So now let's do a save all, which is the two little disks there. There we go. And then let's come back over here, hit refresh, and there's my little button down at the very bottom that says click me.
Nice.
And when I click, now you're going to notice that there's that hello world.
Very nice.
Yeah. So now I get control, or I guess the user gets control, over when that's actually going to be executed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can only be done with JavaScript,
yep.
right?
Exactly.
Updating your user interface.
Yeah.
During runtime with JavaScript.
Yeah. Now,
great example.
There's other cool things that you can do with JavaScript, right, Rachel? Can't you do, like, graphic-y stuff?
Absolutely. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, actually, show me some graphic-y stuff.
Yeah, and earlier we actually introduced the canvas object.
Yeah.
We're going to take that a little bit further. We mentioned that with the canvas object, to interact with that during runtime, you're going to have to use a little bit of JavaScript code.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not that hard. We're going to take a look at that. If we look at my screen, here's a simple little example of using JavaScript to interact with the canvas. And you can see we did just like Christopher did, right? We assigned an ID to that particular object so that we could interact with it down here in our code. And this little simple set of code just goes out and declares a variable to get the context of that object.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we do that, we're able to use that object and begin applying some methods. In this case, we're going to go out and get a fill style method.
Mm-hmm.
Fill a rectangle with blue, right? Real simple. The fill rectangle method takes four attributes. It's going to take the XY position on the screen, and then also the width and the height, and that's just going to define the space. Fill it with blue.
Perfect.
There's a great real-world example that I want to show you that uses HTML5 and manipulates some graphics interactively.
Let's see.
And that's Cut the Rope. If you have not seen this great, you're laughing. You must have played Cut the Rope before.
Everybody's played the Cut the Rope.
Hey, you know, if you right-click and view the source, hey, look. This whole thing is written in HTML5. So it's really cool now that you're learning about HTML5 is to go out and explore websites that you use a lot and see how they're written. So this is an example of one. And it has a very active and interactive graphical interface.
Right.
It's all done using JavaScript and HTML5. So yeah,
excellent.
Really cool real-world example of that. Let's go look at an example of our own, though, working with graphics and JavaScript. I'm going to make it easy on you watching, and also on me, rather than typing in the code. There is a great sample out on MSDN, Microsoft's site. We can actually go to it. It provides us with a little bit more information for you to read up on the Canvas object, and then also gives you some code to copy and paste.
Yep.
We love that. So I'm going to go ahead and link out, and this link will be provided to you. Or you can just pause the video if you want right now. Go out to MSDN site, and if you switch back to my slide, you can pick up the page that you're going to be searching for on MSDN to grab this particular little video. I'm going to go ahead and link out now.
Give that just a second. There we go.
And maximize that. You see it'll take us to some information about the Canvas element.
Okay, yeah. So it's got just kind of everything that you might want about that Canvas object.
It's
like
nice to know about the methods and the events that are available, but what we're really interested in is the code example down here at the bottom.
Okay.
And up in the upper right-hand corner,
copy.
Copy. Hey. I love it. So we're going to copy that, close that out. I'll open up my web matrix. There we go. We'll do a HTML, empty site, next. And then I'm just going to simply replace what is in here with the old Control V, and there's my code, voila. I do want to point out, since we're following up with Christopher's demonstration, one of the cool features that Web Matrix has that I really love is after you've used Web Matrix and you feel like maybe you want to move on to Visual Studio, you can port over your code directly from a Web Matrix. So if you go back to my screen, you can see up here there's an option, to just launch Visual Studio right then and there and go in, because it is a great tool, but you know, there may be some other features that you want to explore in Visual Studio.
That's
so
know
that's there.
I love it.
Let's just take a look and see what we're doing here. We are just this in this case we're actually writing out three rectangles, right?
Okay.
And we're going to fill one with red. Then we're going to do a, and notice we're doing the RGBA. We're using that alpha channel. Mm-hmm. So two of our rectangles here, this one and this one, are actually going to have that transparency effect. So we're going to do a red, green, and a blue. One of the things that you notice is that the height and the width are the same. We're actually creating squares, right?
Right.
But notice we're actually using the fill rectangle. There's really not a rectangle. A square is a rectangle, right? So there's no special square method. You're just going to call the fill rectangle to
I remember that from geometry.
There we go. All right, let's go ahead and run it and just see what happens and how it looks. And voila, there we've got our
one,
pretty,
two, three, and yeah.
You love see the transparency
that effect.
There?
Yep.
So this is a great little sample for you to just go out, copy the code, and play around with. I do want to point out one little caveat. I want to save our users a lot of headache and a lot of time, something that I had to learn the hard way. It's very important to do these steps in the correct order. Again, like what Christopher was mentioning earlier, you don't always get a warning, but things just don't work the way that it's supposed to.
Yep.
So if we go back to my screen, I'll demonstrate what I mean by that. I have to specify the fill style first before I try to fill it, right? You've got to say what you want to fill it first, right?
Right.
If I reverse these orders, let me just stick
seems
this
innocuous
up here.
Enough.
You know, it just doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal, right? But if I run this,
whoa.
I get just the default black color. So just be aware of that. I want to save you a little pain and misery and just to know that, you've got to actually specify those in the right order.
Okay.
And that's it. Hey, not really a whole lot of code
to
work with the graphic object. And, of course, again, we mentioned that the graphic object can be rather complex.
Mm-hmm.
We saw an example, a real-world example of Cut the Rope. You're not expected to have written an application like Cut the Rope for this level, but understand what's going on behind the scenes. Know that the Canvas object is going to be manipulated with JavaScript and a few of the methods and events available for you to do so. All right.
Let's cool.
Back to our screen here.
While that's loading, I'm just going to go in and play Cut the Rope.
Oh, come on. You don't want to listen to touch interface here? so we're going to... we're back on my screen now. Okay, Christopher.
There we go. Anyway, all right.
It is. It's addictive. Be forewarned. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, it's addictive.
Yeah.
Hey, the last thing that we want to cover is talking a little bit about designing for touch-enabled devices. So we want to make sure that you are somewhat comfortable with how to develop. Yeah, how to develop.
I'll put my phone back away now.
Here we have a table of some basic gestures and touches that you need to be familiar with. Again, it's not inclusive, but it kind of gives you an idea of what we're looking for this level of exam. You need to be comfortable with the touches that are available and out there. I think it might help if we actually look at this slide,
that
which visually kind of demonstrates some of the differences. You know, the tap and the double tap, of course, that's rather self-explanatory. And the drag and the flick. Okay, the drag is, of course, put your finger down, hold it down across the entire device, and then lift it up. The flick is more of just a little swipe across the screen or the device.
See, I actually am, in fact, sitting here kind of just doing this with my finger. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the visual really does help. Yeah,
absolutely.
Try to put it into perspective.
Okay.
So you should be familiar. And again, I think most of our audience has probably used a mobile device, a touch-enabled device. So these should be pretty straightforward
for
you.
Don't make me break out my phone again.
No. Sorry, there we got a little... What I do want to point out is you should be familiar with the methods that are available with the touch events, And there are three of them, touch start, touch move, and touch end. There is a fourth one, a touch cancel. But for the most part, these are the three that we want to talk about. They actually happen in this order. Touch start begins when the user presses the device, finger down, then the movement. Touch end occurs when the finger is lifted or fingers lifted off of the device.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, just have a basic understanding about those methods, know what they are, and know when they occur. Here's a simple little example if we look at our screen of some code. So as the developer, we have to respond to those events when they occur. And here's an example of how we're going to do that. We're simply going to add an event listener to the document object. And we're going to do something when that event occurs. In this case, we're actually listening for the touch start event to occur. And when that occurs, we're going to do something. In this case, we're just simply going to write out to an alert box, pass in the length property.
Seems
pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
By the way, the length property just simply returns, believe it or not, the number of fingers that have been touched on the device.
Okay.
So that's simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other thing that you want to be aware of is that the touch events have an associated mouse event too. And this is really helpful to know if you're debugging your application. You may not actually be debugging on a touch-enabled device. No worries. If you look at my slide, I'll demonstrate to you that each touch event has an associated mouse down event. So you can test your app just by testing the associated mouse event. But of course, you do eventually want to move to a touch device before you actually get it out there, right? But it's just good to know that there is an associated event. Also, that we are in a touch-enabled world, right, with devices, but we cannot ignore the mouse,
right.
We still have to develop for both touch and mouse. I've got a great resource here on the slide for you that will give you a little bit more detailed information about touch and mouse and how they're associated with one another. You'll want to take the time to review this as preparation for the exam.
Perfect. All right.
Hey, that's it. JavaScript, again, in a nutshell.
So what we saw there was kind of the little fundamentals, just simply a, hey, this is how we display things.
Right.
Then we took a look at how we could go in, update the interface, interact with the user.
Right.
We took a look at how we could create our own function so we can control when something is going to happen. Talked about how to create an external file, how to bring that back in.
Right.
Talked a bit about how to respond to events. Talk a little bit about both touch as well as, you know, a user clicking on a mouse button. And then also about how to do graphics.
Graphics is fun.
It is.
It can be complicated, but as you saw from our example, you can do a lot of fun things with just a few lines of code.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So what do you say we take a break, and then let's come on back and really kind of take a look at a last handful of like odds and ends, managing state, the page lifecycle, how to remember things when the user, you know, leaves and comes back and things like that. So let's take a break, and then we'll come on back.
Sounds great.
All right.